Praise God. Praise God. It's a real joy to be able to share the Word of God again this afternoon. A lot of my message has already been preached. So there was a lot of confirmations. Pastor Andrew, Pastor Grace as well, Brother Stephen. It was all confirming everything. So if you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to read from verse 1 to verse 5. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word." Everyone say the Word. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made." Not just some things, but all things were made. "Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Amen. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Praise God. What an amazing joy, you know, that we have as body of Christ, where we can come together as one body and where we can open the Word of God and spend time in His presence. You know, let's never take this freedom for granted. You know, let's grab hold of every opportunity we get to learn from His Word. His Word brings life. His Word is alive, amen, and active. See, many of us already know this, but I'm going to say it again. The Word of God speaks to us. Amen? The Word of God speaks to us, meaning God speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through His Word. You see, when we speak to God, when we pray, we speak to God. But when we read the Word, God speaks to us. See, when we pray, we are speaking to God. But when we open up the Word, God speaks to us. You see, and a few things I've come to realize every time I come to open the Word of God. See, for me, the Word of God is everything. You see, I don't take the freedom as granted. You know, I don't take this lightly. The Word of God is everything to me. The Word of God has changed my life. The Word of God has made me the man I am today. You know, 12 years ago, my life was different. But when I started feeding on the Word of God, my life changed. See, the Word of God changes us. It's not music. It's not, emotional roller coasters that will change us. It is the Word, strictly the Word of God, that changes us. And you know, the 7 things that I've come to realize now every time I open the Word of God, I like to share them with you. This is not my message, this is just an introduction. Okay? Every time I come to open the Word of God, firstly, I know and realize and I'm fully convinced that God wants to speak to me. God wants to speak to me. See, when I come to open the Word now, I'm there ready. I'm like, God, I'm here. Speak to me. Here I am, Lord. Wholly available, speak to me. So every time, before, you know, I do anything, I just open my Word and I just let the Word, I let God speak to me. God, speak to me. Secondly, the Word of God is there to correct and convict me. See, before anything else, the Word of God is there not to, you see, sometimes we can use the Word to correct others, but the Word of God is there to correct me. See, the Word of God is personal, so the Word of God is there to correct and convict me of what I'm doing. Thirdly, the Word of God is there to recreate my intoxicated heart. So, in other words, the Word of God is there to renew my heart. See, what we do is because we watch so much things and we watch so many junk on the television and listen to a lot of junk, and it's just, it overcrowds our heart so much, so it overtoxicates our heart. And that's when I come before the Lord, the Word renews my heart. Amen. Fourthly, the Word of God is there to renew my heavy mind. Has anyone had heavy mind in last few hours? This morning, my mind was heavy, you know, and I had to come before the Lord and God renew my mind, because we worry. Naturally, I'm the kind of guy who worries a lot. That's me. You see, but every time I come before the Word, every time I come before the Lord renews my mind. The Word of God renews my heavy mind. Fifthly, the Word of God is there to heal my soul. The Word of God is there to heal my soul. My soul needs healing every day. Amen. Sixthly, the Word of God is there to build me up. The Word of God is there to build me up. I read the Word of God, I'm like, whoa, man. Come on, I'm ready. Hallelujah. And lastly, the Word of God is there to transform my life. I am who I am because of the grace of God. I am who I am because I've allowed the Word of God to renew my mind. Amen. See, those seven things for me, they're personal. And these are the things I remind myself every time. I don't do it every day, but every so often I go back to these things, and it's just a little self-examination. See, the Word of God is there personal. Personal. The Word of God is and should be firstly personal. Amen. So let's focus on the message. I want to focus mainly on verse 5. So verse 5 from John chapter 1, it says, "The light shines in the darkness." Hallelujah. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Or darkness cannot overcome it. Amen. And also, when we look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, you don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, this beautiful portion from the Sermon of Mount, which many of us know as Beatitudes, in other words, beautiful attitudes. And Jesus refers to his disciples in this way. "You are the light of the world." This is Jesus to his disciples. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do the people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Amen. Glorify your Father in heaven. This brings us to that portion of Scripture. If Christ lives in us and we live in Christ, then we are the carriers of the light. We are the carriers of the light. The light of Christ shining out of us, shining through us. Amen. You see, the disciples' main goal was to preach the gospel, was to teach the gospel, but most importantly, it was to live the gospel. See, it wasn't only to preach the gospel, it wasn't only to teach the gospel, but it was to actually live the gospel so that people would know that they were followers of Jesus Christ. Love one another so that people will know you're my followers, Jesus said to his disciples. See, the gospel was not to just become some historical event in disciples' life, but it was rather to become a living, life-transforming reality. Living, life-transforming reality. Amen. So when we carry the light, we begin to live this way. I've got a couple of things here. If you're taking notes, this will help. When we carry the light, we begin to live this way. We live a purposeful life. We live a purposeful life. So the first one is purposeful life. What is the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ? See, there are many purposes that's been summoned up over the years. Different historians, what the early church believed and what the disciples believed and what Jesus himself preached. See, and there are many. So to summarize it all, I've put it into three things. The purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ. Firstly, the purpose of Jesus, Church of Jesus Christ. The church exists to glorify God. Simple. The church exists to glorify God. Secondly, the church exists to equip and edify the saints. The church exists to equip and edify the saints. And lastly, the church exists to evangelize the world. Amen. The church exists to evangelize the world. So what is the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ? Firstly, we are here to worship God. We are here to glorify God. Our every actions are there to glorify God. Secondly, the church exists to edify the saints. See, we're here to build one another. We're here to glorify Christ and God, but we're here to build one another up. And thirdly, the church exists to evangelize the world, yes, to reach the lost, to reach the broken, the marginalized, the hurting, the crushed in their souls. We need to reach out to them. See, Rick Warren, he said this: being successful and fulfilling your life's purpose are not at all the same thing. You can reach all your personal goals, become a raving success by the world standard, and still miss your purpose in this life. Yeah. Still miss your purpose in this life. So what is the purpose of a follower of Jesus Christ? See, living a purposeful life is living for the glory of God and the benefit of others. Living for the glory of God and the benefit of others. My purpose does not include me, if that makes sense. My purpose does not include me. My purpose includes God and His people. Living a purposeful life. See, and when we become the carriers of light in this dark world, our purpose becomes, I'm carrying God with me wherever I go. Yeah. I'm transforming society. I'm transforming community. I'm bringing this light with me wherever I go. Amen. Secondly, relational life. So first one was purposeful life. Second one, relational life. See, God is a God of relationship. Amen. Yeah. God is a God of relationship. And our relationships, they influence us. Our relationships, they influence us. In other words, the circle of our relationship is the sphere of our influence. In other words, our circle of relationship, it impacts our world. It impacts our life. So much so that it transforms us. Where we are today and where we will go tomorrow, it all depends on the relationships that we are building on today. See, and there are three relationships. Firstly, relationship with God. Relationship with God. Secondly, relationship with the saints. And thirdly, relationship with the world. Relationship with the world. Okay, three relationships. Relationship with God. Secondly, relationship with the saints. Thirdly, relationship with the world. And we need all these three relationships, okay? But our relationship with God should be the priority. Amen. See, like I said, our circle of relationships will influence us. So therefore, our relationship with God should be priority. And secondly, our relationship with the saints should be a priority as well. And relationship with the world comes secondary. See, sadly, what's happening today in the sphere of Christianity is we're spending too much time in places where it's sucking us dry rather than filling our spiritual tanks. Okay? Where we spend most of our time matters. If your circle is constantly negative, you know, and pouring out loads of negativity, then the outcome will be you will end up negative. If your circle is constantly speaking words of discouragement in you, you will never be able to move forward and press into things of God. But if your circle is godly circle, constantly encouraging you, constantly pushing you and championing you in the things of God, then that circle will influence your life. Yeah. Because where you spend your time matters. It matters. So firstly, I want to encourage each and every one of us. Don't compromise your relationship with God. Don't compromise your relationship with God. If you go into the world seeking for advice, then you go into the wrong place. If you need advice, firstly go to God. And secondly, I said relationship with the saints. Secondly, if you need some advice, after you've been to God, go to the church. Go to godly men and women who'll be able to guide you and lead you in the way that's good for you and good for me. And then after you've received from these godly circle, then you're ready to make an impact in the world. Because if you're spending 80% of your time evangelizing the world and 20% of your time just spending time in the sphere of churchianity, then it's not going to do you good. You spending time in the presence of God should be greater than you evangelizing the world. And sadly, over the years, what's been preached is you evangelizing the world should be greater than you spending time in the presence of the Lord. And because there's been this imbalance, we've ended up with loads of burnout ministers. And how can I say this? Because I've been there myself. Because when you first become a Christian, when you first come to know and understand the love of God, your heart is so passionate, you're ready. You just want to evangelize, you just want to evangelize, you just want to give, you just want to serve. You and me, we become yes person. Oh, can you do this? Yes. Can you do that? Yes. Can you go this? Yes. Can you pick me up? Yes. Can you do? Yes, yes, yes. Then you have no time to spend in the presence of God and your tank is empty. And when your tank is empty, you're leaving room in your heart for things that isn't of God, so much so it intoxicates your heart and it corrupts your spirit. Yeah. See, you might be thinking, I'd be pushing it to evangelize more, and I will do that. We have to evangelize. I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't be like, oh, Daniel told us not to evangelize, we're just to spend time in his presence. No, we have to evangelize. We have to reach out to the world, but your time in his presence should be greater than your time in the world. In other words, when I say the world, I'm talking about evangelizing and reaching out to the world. Because if your tank is full, see, David understood this very, very well. That's why he says, my cup overflows. Your cup should be overflowing. I'd go as far as to say 80% should be you spending time in his presence and 20% you should be evangelizing. Because if every year you evangelize to one person and you bring about transformation in their life, that's it. Every year you will see more and more lives getting impacted and transformed and changed. We have to start with one. Amen. We have to start with one. Because Jesus didn't say, go out and make converts. He said, go out and make disciples. And discipleship requires relationship. Amen. And thirdly, obedient life. Okay. First thing was purposeful life. Second thing, relational life. Thirdly, obedient life. Being attentive to the Spirit of God. Being attentive to the Spirit of God. See, I love it at Harvest Fields. You see, we have our set rotas and we have our schedules and everything. But in our meetings, if somebody feels a prompt in their heart from the Holy Spirit, then we just scrap our schedule and we just say, hey, if it's the Holy Spirit and if God wants to say something, go for it. It's His way. See, and even in my life as well, you see, I'm the sort of guy, I like set of things, you know, and whenever I organize something, as you can already tell from my message, it's like points, 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 points. I like things, set of things, you know, whenever I'm doing something, and yeah. And but in my routine of set of things, you know, if I feel the Lord say to me, hey, you have to scrap this, which I had to do last week. I had a message prepared. I was, ready, and I had spoken to a few people and I was bouncing off different ideas and I was like, whoa man, this message is going to be great. By the way, my message was what Steve shared earlier on about the Emmaus Road. That was a message from last week. Then God intervened and I had to scrap my message and I had to bring another one. But, you know, this week, yes, you know, I had this message and it's just, I woke up and I just had this message. Some days you just receive from the Lord, you're like, whoa, I'm ready. And other days you're like, God, what's happening? What's happening? You see, but the main thing I want to bring out from this is we have to be attentive to the Spirit of God. See, God uses people who have Lev Shammai, a listening heart. A heart that is always listening and always attentive to His voice. See, I challenge myself every day now more than ever. Daniel, are you listening from Him? Are you listening to Him? What you're bringing, is that from God or is that of you? Now more than ever. Because I'm now realizing the importance of receiving from God. See, I've only been in ministry for about 10 years doing what I'm doing, preaching the gospel and just teaching and sharing thoughts from the Bible. And over these last 10 years, I've learned so much, you know, I've been through so much myself. And part of it was my own doing because I compromised my time with the Lord. And because I compromised and I became more of a good Christian rather than spiritually following Jesus, there's a difference, you see. Sometimes we base our Christianity on the aspects of how many good deeds we do. And this isn't about good deeds. This is about us being good communicators of the gospel. In our actions and in our words. See, and now more than ever, it's just... See, I just really struggle to say no. Because I was always on a good Christianity, good merit. I need to earn all these good merits because I want to do God's work. But can I say this? Good work does not mean God's work.
No.
Good work does not mean God's work. God's work is you and me. We have to preach the gospel.
Absolutely.
We have to give the message.
Absolutely.
And we have a person in the Bible and his name is Ananias and he's found in Acts chapter 9. And we know of this another person. His name is Saul. Which later on we come to know him as Paul. But on his way to Damascus, you know, he's on a mission. He's going to persecute all these heretic people who are spreading this message of the gospel and which he believes is not from God. And so Paul's on this mission of actually stopping these men from preaching this message. And on his way to Damascus, he has this radical encounter with Jesus. So much so it transforms his life. But before we come to that point of transformation, we have this man called Ananias. And he's in Damascus. And he's fearful of his life because he's heard of this man who's coming to kill him and persecute the other brothers and sisters in that community. And can you imagine? He's praying to God, God, please deliver us from this man. Then God speaks to him. You go and speak to him. Not the kind of answer one would expect back from God. God, please deliver me from this man. And God's like, go and speak to this man. The very man he's praying to God, deliver me from Saul, and God's like, now you go and speak to Saul. Because he is the man I've chosen, God said. And in Acts chapter 9, verses 17 to 18, just take notes. Acts chapter 9, verses 17 to 18, it says, and Ananias went his way and entered the house where Saul was. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, very Christian way of doing things. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales and he received his sight at once. And he arose. In other words, he became fully awake, arose and was baptized. What a privilege, eh? What an honor. He not only just gave him the message of the gospel, he not only just prayed for this great healing and miracle, but he actually had the opportunity to baptize him as well. See, his obedience played a big part in the New Testament. And sadly, he is one of them unsung heroes that we never mention. But he is there, Ananias. Out of all the group, he was the one who was attentive to the Spirit, to the voice of God. And the fact that his name is mentioned in the New Testament says to me that it was a significant role he played in the fulfillment of the New Testament. Because of his one action, New Testament was made possible. Because of him, his one single act of obedience made the New Testament possible. See, and he's the same man, Saul, who later on became Paul. He's the same man who wrote loads of letters in the New Testament. And aren't they a blessing to us? What a blessing, eh? When I read them, it just fills my heart with so much joy, so much encouragement, so much truth. I'm so blessed reading them. I absolutely love reading the Word of God. See, it's as if, you know, his action was like, not for my glory, for the glory of God, I'll do it. Ananias, not for my glory, but for the glory of God, I'll do it. I'll risk my life if that's what you want me to do. Because obedience is always better. Amen. A.W. Tozer wrote this. A.W. Tozer. The man with a cross is no longer... Sorry, the man with a cross no longer controls his destiny. So if you've been crucified with Christ, you no longer control your destiny. He lost control when he picked up his cross. So when you and me decided to follow Jesus, we lost our control. Okay? I love these, old preachers, you know, they're just like straight fire. Boom, boom, no messing around. The cross immediately became to him all-observing interest and overwhelming interference. So when he decided to follow Jesus, that's it. Everything of your control is now being taken over from you. And that's why I said earlier on about worrying. Because, see, most of the time, me raising up my hand, not some of the time, most of the time I like to be in control. See, I like to know what's happening. I like to know this and that, you know. But God's like, hey. And this is something that God has been really challenging me about and really speaking to me about. Because I'm a time skill guy. I need to know the time. I need to know this. I need to know that. Because, you know, I like to organize, you know, a few weeks in advance, a few days, a few hours, you know. But it's just, God's like, whoa, boy, slow down. Exactly. Absolutely. You're like, what's happening, you know? But it's just, we have to be obedient. We have to stay obedient. See, Ananias wasn't expecting that call from God. But he was attentive. His ears were attentive to his voice. And that's where we need to be. And that's why I felt the Lord say to me, Daniel, have left Shemai, have listening heart. Stay attentive. Stay attentive. And church, I'm going to speak this over you. Stay attentive. Do not rush. Don't rush. Stay attentive. It's a process. You want things done now, there and then, straight away, but it's a process. It is a process. Amen. And even when we see the life of Paul, it was a process for him. He did not just get saved and whip out his pen and paper and start writing all these letters. No, it was a process. He had to endure a lot of shipwrecks. Lots of hardships, bitten by a snake, all sorts. He was in the ocean for hours, sea for hours. You know, it was all that process he had to go through. But the main thing is we have to stay obedient. Obedient life is better. Amen. It's better, trust me. So, so much better. Amen. Number four, visionary life. Visionary life. Visionary life. Seeing through the lenses of faith. Seeing through the lenses of faith. Living a life of faith. Seeing the future rather than the past and the present. See, when we live by faith, we have to see a godly future. And we have to believe it. We have to believe it. Because how we see will affect how we live. How we see will affect how we live. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. It says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. See, when someone brings in the negative confession, let's bring in the positive confession. When someone says, Luis, you'll never be able to accomplish that. You'll never be able to achieve that. Don't listen to them. Declare, I will do it. Because it's not me who's doing this. God doing it through me and in me. Amen. Because it is God who's doing it. And let's not join in with the negativeness. You see, because the enemy drops in a seed and we just play with that seed in our heads. We're just playing with our negativeness. So much so, you know, the more we play with our negativeness, the more we feed that negative seed and the more it grows. And when it grows, it just gets everywhere. Starts from here, then it just gets everywhere, all over. And that's why we have to begin to live by faith and see through the eyes of faith. And recognize what is of God and what isn't of God. We have to. See, whenever now I recognize something, I just declare the exact opposite what's in my head. In my head, or in my ears, the enemy might be whispering one thing, but my confession is different now. When the enemy whispers, Daniel, you can't. I say, listen, I can't, but God can.
Amen.
When the enemy whispers, listen, Daniel, you're not capable of it. I say, I might be not capable of it, but God is capable of it. He's more than capable of it.
Amen.
See, it's a daily battle. But our confession changes everything. Because the more we confess, the more we start believing it. Say it, believe it, act on it. Those three things I've written down. Say it, believe it. Now I say to myself, Daniel, say it. Say it. But don't just say it, but believe what you say. I can do it.
Amen.
With God by my side. I can do it. All these mountains.
Amen.
Amen. All these valleys. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, David said.
Yes.
There might be loads of negative noises buzzing in his ears, but he said, listen, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
Amen.
I will bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless Him. I will bless Him all the time. His confession changed. Didn't matter what the circumstance was. Didn't matter what the season was. His confession changed. My question to you this afternoon is, what is that season you're going through today? And what is your confession like? What is your confession like, amen? What is our confession like? Because I choose to confess differently. I choose to confess the Word of God. I'm not going to confess what's in my mind. I'm not going to confess what I see, no. I'm going to confess what God wants me to do. And we are going to do God's work, amen? We are going to do God's work. Nothing is stopping that. Because light pierces the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. It says darkness has not, but let me say darkness cannot.
No.
Darkness has no power.
No.
Whatever darkness that might be trying to invade your life, your family, your work, whatever, I'm going to speak against that in the name of Jesus. That darkness will not overcome you, because the light that lives in you is greater. Amen.
Yeah.
The light that is in you is greater. Christ Himself. Christ Himself is Derek Prince. He said, faith is taking God seriously.
Yes.
If you are taking God seriously, you will take your confession seriously as well. Because it is the Word of God. Amen.
Yes.
It is the Word of God.
Yes.
Church, let's confess the truth.
Yes.
Let's declare the truth. Let's continue to say it. Let's continue to believe it. Let's continue to act on it.
Yes.
Let's continue to act on it. I'm going to live big. Amen. Say it, church. I'm going to live big.
Yes.
Because we serve a big God.
Yes.
I'm going to see big things happening.
Yes.
Because we serve a big God.
Yes.
Amen. We serve a big God.
Yes.
And I've wrote here in Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18. It says, without vision people perish. Without vision people perish. I tell you what, our vision is not our vision. It's God's vision. It's God's vision. You see, Andrew was sharing it during the service. This is God's vision. This is God's vision. And although the enemy has tried his way to crush that vision, if God has given you something, the enemy, he cannot crush it. He will try to crush it, but he cannot crush it, because that fulfilled, the prophecy, the word, it will come into fulfillment because it is God himself. Amen. Someone stop me, I'm getting too wild out here. Someone stop me, amen. Three important deeds. Number one, desire. Desire. When you have that godly vision in your heart, we begin to desire for greater things. We begin to desire for greater things. A few weeks ago, Andrew was saying he is not satisfied. He's still hungry. He's still ready. And I'm the same. I'm not satisfied. I know there is more. There is more. This isn't it, church. If you think this is it, then perhaps I'm going to challenge your thinking. There is more. There is more. Let's hunger for more. Because God has given us a big vision. And that vision is not just Doncaster. It's international, amen. It's international. We're going to see great things of God happening. We're going to see great move of God. And we have to believe it. The enemy might say and whisper in your ears, that's it, boy, no more, that's it, boy. Say to him, listen, poof, get off. There is more. There is more, amen. Secondly, decision. When we have that vision, amen, we decide to settle for the Lord's best. But when you don't have that vision, you settle for less. But when you have that big vision, you begin to settle for big things.
Yes.
I'm not satisfied for this. No. I know there's more. See, the enemy will whip a card out and say, hey, settle for this.
No.
That's what the enemy tried to do to Jesus. When he was in the wilderness. Hey, settle for this.
Yes.
No. Hey, tried it three times.
Yes.
Jesus said, no. I'm going to settle for what God has for me. And that's the best of the best. Amen. And thirdly, determination. I tell you, when you understand God's vision, I don't know where it comes from. It comes from God. But you all of a sudden have this great determination. I mean, look at David. He's 87. But good Lord, have you seen him working? Guy's unstoppable. There's this fight in him. Although his flesh might be crying out, oh, David, please let me rest. He's like, boy, you're not resting. You're not resting, flesh. You are not resting. You are going to serve the Lord. See this platform, he was there with drills and everything.
Yeah.
Building it.
Yeah.
And we're doing something and Andrew will say the same, Steve will say the same. He'll be like, hey, can we do this? Can we do that? We're like, whoa, David, slow down. Let us finish this one first. See, because he has great determination. And that's because he knows our God is great, big God.
Amen.
And he can testify to that.
Amen.
He can testify to that, amen. He can testify to that. Let's desire for great things. Let's make a decision that we're not going to settle for less. We're going to settle for the best. Let's have this determination in us that until and unless we see the fulfillment of the promises in the land of the living, we will not settle. We will not settle. See, all those promises God gave you, we're not going to settle until we see them fulfilled. Amen? And there will be more. Generation and generation, it will continue in the name of Jesus. Come on, church. This isn't it. We're not stopping it. This isn't the chapter closed. No, there is more. There is more. See, God's been challenging me. Daniel, think big. What's happened to you? You know, we have to. Church, come on. We have to. Let's not settle for less. This isn't it. There is more. Come on. We have to stir ourselves, shake ourselves. There is more. Amen. There is more. Amen. Visionary life. Come on, church. Each and every one of us. God's given us a vision. Let's run with our vision. Let's run with our vision. Fifth, intentional life. Intentional life. Nothing happens by accident or coincidence. Growth does not take place accidentally. People just don't hear the gospel accidentally. There is an intention behind it, and it's God. See, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7, to 17, there's a passage in there, and to summarize it all, it says, look carefully how you walk, not as an unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. But I just want to emphasize on that, making the best use of time. And it goes on to say, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, time is very precious. Time is very precious. And the real big question, I suppose, is how are we using our time? How are we using our time? And we have to be intentional about growth. We just have to be intentional about growth. The Satan will try whispering in your ears, you see, but we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional. Because an intentional church is an unstoppable church. An intentional believer is an unstoppable believer. An unstoppable believer. Amen. See, Louise, she comes and she writes all these scriptures and she brings it and she shows it to us. Penn did not write itself. She was intentional about writing them scriptures because she's intentional about growth. She wants to grow. That's why she writes them scriptures. Bless her. Most of the time she's not understanding what she's writing, but that does not stop her. Amen? Because there's this fight in her. I want to grow. There's this she's intentional about it. I want to grow in Jesus. I want to grow in Jesus. And you know that it's a blessing. You know, being intentional is being single-minded. Being intentional is being single-minded. Don't be double-minded. James, we read in James, do not be double-minded, because what's happening now is there is lots of double-mindedness going on. And sometimes we too can fall into that pit of double-mindedness. But we just have to say to ourselves, listen, where are we heading? What does God want me to do? Where is God? Where has God placed me? Let's be single-minded. Let's be single-minded. We have to be single-minded. Amen. We have to be single-minded. Let's be intentional about submitting our future to the Lord. Let's not worry. Let's submit our future to the Lord. Let's be intentional about it. Amen. Secondly, let's be intentional about submitting our relationships to the Lord. We try too hard to work things out. Let's submit our relationships to the Lord. Let's submit our ways to the Lord. Let's be intentional about submitting our ways to the Lord. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord. Submit all your ways. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make all your paths straight. We just have to trust Him. There is no other way. There is no other way. We have to submit what is in our hands to the Lord. See, we have to learn to just let go and trust God. And it's a very hard thing to do. But we just have to let go. And church, you know, just let go. Trust in the Lord. Just let go. Be intentional about letting go. I know we all are a bit of a control freak sometimes. You know, I'm a control freak. And letting go is a hard thing. But I just have to let go. I just have to let go. You know, and we have to be intentional about letting go. Because until and unless we let go, we'll never be able to grow in the things of God. Letting go is surrendering it all. Surrendering it all. And if we are carriers of the light, we have to learn to let go of all the things. And we have to surrender it all. Amen. 6. Dependable life. Dependable life. See, I was reading an article on dependability and I came across this one, all right, which I'm going to read it out to us. Dependability is the quality of being able to be counted on. Dependable people are reliable. They do what they said they would do and are worthy of trust. When we have an important task that must be completed, we look for dependable people. Dependability is a valuable character trait that also reflects a person's trustworthiness, honesty, and reliability. My tongue's doing a lot of twisting today. Reliability, amen. And responsibility. So dependability is actually about being reliable. And God's looking for reliable people. God's looking for a reliable church that will be single-minded and not double-minded. One foot on the world and one foot... No. Single-minded. Either we're fully going for God or we're not going for God at all. And sadly, with the changes in the culture, with a lot of compromising and everything, and it's just, you know, lately the church is like that. Where should I settle? Where should I settle? And, yeah. Church is like that. You know, and we just have to single-minded although the storms might come, although the waves might, whatever, we have to be single-minded. And you see, the challenge to us is when in the next few years, when there will be more changes in the culture and more compromising in the culture, what is our response going to be like, and where will we stand? On the truth, amen. Comes back to Romans, Andrew's favorite scripture. Do not be conformed by the patterns of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, do not compromise to the things of the world. And that's talking about culture. And sadly, it's just, when I watch social media, it just blows me up sometimes. It's just, I'm seeing a lot of things and I'm like, whoa, Lord, just help my heart. Help my heart. Give me, you know, please help me to keep my heart right. Amen. I know we're not perfect, but some of the things you see just boils your temper a bit. You know, and I think we shouldn't be judgmental or anything like that, but sometimes this righteous anger just... Matthew chapter 5, verses 37. Okay, Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. These are the words of Jesus. Let your yes be a yes and a no be a no. Okay? And sometimes we're like, yes, I understand, but I just want to help. You see, and there's this fine line we need to understand between promising and delivering. Promising and delivering, okay? Sometimes we promise more and we deliver less. And the reason we do that is because our heart is right. We just want to help. But we don't realize the damage is causing. Sometimes us wanting to do a good thing might result in a bad thing. Because we want to help, but sometimes we just make a decision based upon our emotions and not checking up on things, and it just goes pear-shaped. And that's why the Bible is very clear on this element of let your yes be a yes and no be a no. And this is my observation. I think this is one of those things where the church is going a bit pear-shaped as well. Yes, we want to help. You know, so we're slowly drifting to the culture. And before you know it, you're so in the culture that you start compromising with the things. And that's why if something is not right, we have to say no. No. See, I want to say a lot of things, but yes, but we just have to say no. We just have to say no. Amen. Let's promise less, but deliver more. Promise less, but deliver more. Amen. Sometimes it's better to stay quiet and do more with our actions. And I think Jesus did that. He demonstrated His great love for us. God demonstrated His great love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's it. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, he says, "One who is faithful in very little is faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is dishonest in much." So the question is, how faithful are we with what God has given to us? How faithful am I with what God has given to me? See, living a dependable life is actually living a life as a doer of the word rather than just hearer and talkers of the word. Doers of the word. Allowing the gospel to become a life-transforming, living reality. Okay, and this is a personal question for myself, and you can take this question for yourself as well. Can God depend on you? Okay, just a question for reflection. Because when I was preparing this message, God, you know, this question just popped in my spirit. Can God depend on me? And it's a challenging question. Can God depend on me? Can God depend on you? Okay, I'm not going to answer anything, but I'll leave that for you to reflect in your own personal time. Can God depend on you? Can God depend on me? Can God depend on us? And that's a question to the church globally today. Can God depend on His church? Yeah. 7, empowering life. Empowering life. Living to empower others. I love it. Jesus, he looked at his disciples, he says, greater things you shall do. It was all about empowering others. Greater things you shall do. In other words, your success is my success. Your win is my win. Your victory is my victory. See, I love our testimony moments, you know, and I love the fact that we all celebrate together because it is our victory. See, Ava, when she shared her testimony, it wasn't just her victory, it was our victory. Amen. Because we're one body, it's our victory. When Louise got up and when she was sharing a few weeks ago of when she was going through this heaviness, and she got up and she was like, it's no longer there. It wasn't just her victory, it was our victory. It was our victory, amen. And you see, the way of the selfish heart is to use others so that they can reach the goal. But the way of empowering life is giving my 100% so that others can win. Giving my 100% so that others can win. That's what Jesus did. He gave his 100% so that you and me can have life. He didn't have to do it, but he did it so that you and me can have life. What an example. He didn't have to do it, but he did it for you and I. For you and I. Luke chapter 10, this is an account. Luke chapter 10. Okay, and this is an account where Jesus sends out the 12. When we look from verse 17, he says, Jesus sending out 72. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Even the demons submit to us in your name. And in verse 18, he says, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. But in verse 21, at that time, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Yeah. Jesus rejoicing. Yeah. The fact that, you know, he spent time with these disciples and these followers, and now to be able to see what he's taught and to be able to see them do what he's taught was a joy. And I think for every leader, this is their heart's desire to see, you know, the followers of Jesus Christ living and fulfilling all that God has for them. See, I rejoice in that, and it blesses my heart every time I see somebody praying out loud. It blesses my heart every time I see somebody bringing out a word, and you know, and honestly, this is my prayer. You know, my prayer is that one day, you know, that I will get to see each and every one of you guys preaching the word, laying hands on the sick and seeing them healed and delivered and moving in signs, wonders and miracles and flowing in the spiritual gifts. That is my heart's desire. That's all the leadership's heart's desire here. We want to see each and every one of us move in the things of the Spirit. That's what we do, what we do. There are days where we don't feel like doing what we love doing because we get tired. You know, we get stressed out sometimes and we get frustrated. But we do what we do because that is genuinely our heart's desire. And when I see Jesus, that was his heart's desire, to see his disciples live out what he's been investing in their lives. And they did in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. Amen. When we open the book of Acts, we see all of that happening. See, Jesus did it all the time. Feeding the 5,000 disciples are looking at Jesus. Jesus is like, come on, you do it. You do it. You know, every time Jesus said to us, you do it, come on, you do it. You've seen me do it, now it's time for you to do it. Empowering life. Amen. Empowering life. And that is what church is all about. Empowering one another in the things of God. And lastly, service life. Serviceful life. living for the benefit of others. Living for the benefit of others. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew 20, verse 28. Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Now, whereas Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. See, today I've come here to serve you, the Word of God, not to be served. See, Jesus came to serve. And we are here to serve the community. We are here to serve the people of God. And you see, as carriers of light, I think it is our responsibility to serve the people with fresh manna. Fresh manna. We can do all the good deeds, but most importantly, what people need, what a tired, weary soul need, is freshness of the gospel. The goodness that will liberate them. The goodness that will transform them. The goodness that will make them realize that they are no longer slaves to sin.
Amen.
Amen. That there is a way, and that way, his name is Jesus.
Yes.
See, when we serve, you see, when you go to a restaurant, I love steak, ribeye, that's my thing. Ribeye steak with a little bit of fat in it. Not a little bit of fat, a lot of fat in it. That's my thing. If you're having steak, you have to have fat in it. You know, some people just like a sirloin, but I'm more of a ribeye guy. The fat belongs to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Ribeye, you know. And when you go into restaurants, you have menus, don't you? And in that menu, you know, you see all different food items and everything. And it's just, that's us when we go to the world with the menu as well. And in that menu, we have gospel. In that menu, we have signs, wonders, and miracles. In that menu, we have healing. In that menu, we have all sorts that can set them free. See, and sadly, the menu that the church is presenting to the world, I don't know if I should say this, is social things. I'm not going to name things, all right? Social things with no gospel in it, with no signs and wonders and miracles in it, with nothing of the word in it. It's just good works menu. But the menu that we need to present to the world is gospel menu, not good works menu. Good work is part of the gospel, yes, but good work is secondary. Gospel is primary.
Yeah.
Amen? Wouldn't it be nice if we have both?
Yeah.
Gospel and good work. Amen? We need balance of both. Gospel and good work. Amen. The light shines in the darkness and provides, and the darkness has and cannot and will not overcome it. So, what does provide mean? Alright? So those things we went through together. P stands for purposeful life. What's the spelling of provide? P-R-O-V-I-D-E. But I put provides. Okay, the church provides to the world what the world needs. And people of light provides to the world what the world needs. The world really needs is the gospel. The healing message of Jesus Christ. So P stands for purposeful life. R stands for relational life. O stands for obedient life. V stands for visionary life. I stands for intentional life. D stands for dependable life. E stands for empowering life. S stands for service life. The church provides.
Amen.
Amen? The provides. We provide how to live a purposeful life. We provide how to live a relational life. We provide how to live an obedient life. We provide how to live visionary life, intentional life, dependable life, empowering life, and service life. The light shines in the darkness and provides for the people. And the darkness has not and cannot and will not overcome it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Bless you.